On this week's 51%, the female part of toy company Melissa and Doug has written a book about her journey from darkness to light, telling others they're not alone.
I really just want to help others ignite their own sparks and find what makes them tick and go out in the world and shine their light.
I'm Allison Dunn, and this is 51%. Melissa and Doug is a $500 million success story. Its products found on toy store shelves and children's bedroom floors everywhere. The Melissa behind the company, Melissa Bernstein, has been the chief designer of more than 5,000 playthings. But until recently, she kept secret her lifelong battle with severe depression and anxiety. Her new book, Lifelines, An Inspirational Journey from Profound Darkness to Radiant Light, tells the story of her journey inward towards self-discovery, detailing the ways she has adapted her thinking and practices to feel at home in her body and in the world. The book offers solace, connection, and support to others struggling with feelings of depression, anxiety, isolation, or loneliness. I asked her how she came to write Lifelines, her first book.
You know, it really wasn't intentional at all. I was basically at Melissa and Doug, my husband and I started it when we were just dating. We were like 23 and 25, and we spent a really magnificent 30-plus years, you know, really doing that and finding such joy in making toys for children. But in my own life, I would say I had been living, I guess you would say, a lie, and really, although I didn't know it at the time, but really hiding, I'd say, a lot of who I really was. And as I got older, that cry of my soul to be seen authentically just got louder and louder and louder and got to a point when I had to do something about it.
Now, whenever you write something down, especially feelings, you know, it all of a sudden it becomes more real, if you will, or now you're sharing it. You know, it's one thing to hold a journal and keep it to yourself. It's another thing to put it in a book that people will read. And so what was that differentiation for you? What was the importance of putting it out in book form as opposed to journal form?
Great question. You know, I did start by putting it out in verbal form. I connected a few dots just about 5 years ago that were so profound and made me realize that I actually was afflicted with something from birth that I have never really put a label to. And I think understanding that and understanding that it was an affliction that was common in highly creative people made me finally understand why I was the way I was. And I had always really despised the way I was and tried to hide it and snuffle it out my whole life. And it was tragic, to be honest. And I knew it was tragic, but I couldn't really accept myself. So I think once I started connecting dots and knew that, oh my goodness, I wasn't alone. There were others afflicted with similar thoughts and feelings and ways of being, I went out and I exposed it on a pretty well-known podcast, and I received hundreds and hundreds of the most powerful letters ever. And they were what showed me that I needed to write this book because they really resonated with those feelings and said they felt like someone understood them for the first time. And I really wanted to share that story, the full story and all its many caverns, to really show others that they shouldn't be ashamed of who they are either and should, you know, have the courage to share who they are as well.
And let's not dance around the issue because you certainly don't. What is the affliction? Talk about how you came to terms with it, how you're coming to terms, because it's continual, right? You don't like get over it.
It is continual.
You address it and you learn how to cope. But so let's talk a little bit more about that. What are the issues?
Yeah, it's pretty unusual because it's basically a crisis of meaning that afflicted me from the moment I was born. And really, from as early as I can remember, I had these questions, like deep questions in my head, what is the purpose of life if we are just to die? Why am I here? And what am I meant to do while I'm here? And they were so pressing and like this drumbeat in my head 24/7 that I really wasn't ever able to just be. And I was incredibly unsettled. It was sort of like this itch that you couldn't scratch and just this feeling of unease and that I wasn't at home in myself that just made me never able to be calm. And then so my life, because I never got those answers to those questions and never even really was able to verbalize them to anyone because they would have thought I was so crazy, I just developed a whole host of coping mechanisms through my life to try to quell that drumbeat.
Was the creativity involved in developing your product line with Doug, was that something that was one of those coping mechanisms? Or how did that fuel or quell what was going on?
That's another great question. Yeah, so I innately created from pretty much like the moment I could write because it was a way of taking the utter chaos that reigned in my head and turning it into something that had form to it and had some order and I could control. But the issue before we started Melissa and Doug for the first 2.5 decades of my life was really that I was just turning darkness into more darkness because I believed that what I was creating was so dark and despairing and like ugly that no one would ever want to see it. So I hid all that creativity away. And when it stayed hidden from the world, it never brought me that sense of meaning, right? It never answered my questions of why am I here? Because it wasn't serving that purpose. It was just staying in darkness. But when I took that same despair and realized just by accident that I was able to channel it into creativity through making toys, something like incredibly different happened. And I saw for the very first time in my mid-20s that I actually had a choice. Because I always believed that the creativity was just meant to turn into more darkness and that was my, you know, who I was. I was darkness and creating darkness from darkness, and I would never find the light through that. But when I saw that I actually had this ability to take this darkness and turn it into toys, no less, right? Something so light and bright and able to touch children and make them laugh and play, it was like I was able to breathe fresh air for the very first time because I saw that I could turn off that faucet that had the darkness in it, to just turn on the one with the light, and I could just funnel the despair into actually positivity. And that became my mantra that I said every single day, which was step on out of the head, moving into the heart, free to channel all dread into jubilant art. And the key word was jubilant because I wanted it to be jubilant. I didn't want it to be dark.
Which is so great. And also that word from what you just said is the longer one. And you almost have to put emphasis on it as you're saying it. It just seems to me it would really hit home. Let's talk about what Lifelines contains in terms of not only how it helped you, but how you hope it will help others.
Sure. So Lifelines is much more than the book. So the book was really my bid for self-acceptance and my vulnerability in saying, hey, if I can go out there and brandish who I truly am in all my eccentricities, you know, all my craziness, everyone should be able to do the same. So I was trying to, you know, share those deep, dark feelings so that others wouldn't feel so stigmatized either. And really, it's my bid to those highly creative people out there that feel like we don't belong and that we won't fit in. So that's that. But then Doug and I, and he's joined me in this second venture as well, which is so exciting because, you know, it's fun. It's a passion project, but we're doing it together. And so Lifelines.com, the ecosystem, is based on 3 overriding principles. The first is you are not alone. Because I grew up truly believing that I was utterly and completely alone and that no one would ever understand me. And that, you know, I was the only one afflicted with such oddities. So So once I realized that wasn't the case, and actually, you know, many of us are afflicted with these feelings and these thoughts, it made me want to show others who are probably in the very same spot that they're not alone either. That's the first. Then the second is that we all have the ability to turn our darkness into light. I think that's maybe the most powerful, because all of us, you know, again, have dark periods and sometimes feel like that darkness might overwhelm us. But if we can harness that darkness and really find those seeds within us that are our light, that are our gifts that we want to share with the world, then we too can turn that darkness into light. And it's only when we do that that we sort of find the light ourselves. And then three, which was also a pretty big deal, is none of us will ever find fulfillment or true peace until we make the journey inward and accept ourselves in totality. And that was the hardest part for me, because even after channeling that darkness into light through making toys at Melissa and Doug, that brought me profound joy, and it really was my salvation for over 3 decades, I still wasn't whole. And I still had this deep, deep yearning and emptiness within, because I had never truly accepted the darkness that created those light, bright toys. And I still was hiding from really who I was, which was sort of a whole vast spectrum of emotion, from the highest highs to the lowest lows, and all of it really combining to make me creative. So I knew that I needed to stop racing outside myself, trying to avoid that deep, dark drumbeat of mortality, and finally go inward and accept those feelings. So that's when, about 4 years ago, I enlisted the help of a professional, because I knew I couldn't make that journey alone, and I decided to go inward. And it has been, I'm still on it, sort of the most arduous expedition of my life, taking me to some really, really dark, low places. But the incredible thing is, I've been there, I've touched it, and I've come back. And you know, although I don't like to go there on a daily basis, I've proven that I could do it, and I could look it in the eye, and I have a lot of verses about that, and sort of be okay, you know, still be here breathing. And prove that if I can do it, you know, I do believe others can do it as well. So that journey, it was so powerful for me that I wanted to recreate it for our ecosystem, and it's the centerpiece of our ecosystem, and our community members called Seekers will be able to go on that journey as well. And everything on our ecosystem is entirely free. So Doug and I are financing it through the goodness that Toys has brought us. So, you know, everybody can have the ability to go on this journey.
Right. And this expedition is through an online community resource center. That's what you're talking about, right? The content hub, and kind of offering that support and connection for those on their own journeys, right?
Exactly. Yeah. Lifelines.com has all of this. And, you know, we're just beginning. It just recently went live, but it's just the beginning, you know, and we'll offer so much community and content and experiential, and hopefully allow all of us to really be able to get in our hearts a lot more easily than we do today. Because I think my issue my whole life was I was imprisoned, truly imprisoned in my head, that told me all these lies that weren't true. And the minute I was able to step out of that prison of my own choice and move into my heart, like, everything changed. And I realized what it really meant to live and to be free and to find liberation.
Well, sure. And I can't imagine there isn't anyone who feels some degree of this at some point, especially this year, though this, you know, this book was written before COVID. But I'm wondering if you could maybe address that, because now you probably are relatable to so many more people who are feeling, you know, isolation, anxiety, depression because of COVID. And I'm wondering, you couldn't have planned this, but the timing of your book is pretty uncanny.
It really is. And, you know, I feel like whether your meeting crisis comes from birth, or it truly comes from a situation like COVID, which I think all of us, right, all are racing, all are you know, one of the volumes in my book is called The Futile Race, and it's running away from yourself and just engaged in so much contrived activity just to kind of, you know, assuage that feeling like we're not enough. And with COVID, I think everything like fell away. And we were suddenly forced to look in the mirror and see ourselves without all those trappings that became our lives. So I think many of us now feel that sense of isolation and desolation and why am I here and what am I really meant to do? So a meaning crisis is a meaning crisis, whether it's existential or situational, you know, today. So I think all of us can benefit from really going deep and figuring out what these mind stories are we tell ourselves, how to tell ourselves a new story, and how to live more and connect more with our hearts, where we are in the moment, we are truly living, and, you know, we're not sabotaging ourselves.
Yeah, and it's interesting. In your book as well, you really relate to nature. You know, there's photography, all of that. What is that aspect of the book?
Yeah, I mean, I think for me, nature is one of my most profound lifelines. Other than creativity itself, nature is absolutely number two. And I think for any of us that tend to get stuck in our heads, and our heads are not a good place. You know, for me, it's truly a prison. And it tells me things I don't want to hear. It makes me question my value, my worth. And it really plagues me on the mortality issue, you know, that I won't be here that long. So I have to, you know, really work hard. My practice is to step out of my head and move into my heart. And when I am in nature, I am truly in my heart. I don't even have to work at it. You know, if I can just be, and right now we're away in the mountains, and just looking out the window, just the boundlessness of like the layers of the mountains and the sky and nature, it brings me to a place that is really peaceful. And I think it's because, you know, nature doesn't lament anything. Nature isn't thinking about mortality. Nature isn't thinking about how it looks. You know, it's not questioning. It's just being. And it really helps me to, it's giving me a lesson. You know, I feel like nature is teaching me how I need to be, because nature goes through four seasons every year, right? It grows and then it dies and then it grows again. And it's sort of the cycle of life. And I know it's trying to teach me that I must just the same accept my own cycle of life.
You know, I wanted to ask you, what separates your book from others? I mean, you know, certainly you're not alone, as you've well learned in battling, you know, and coping with and living with these feelings. How is your book different from all the others on this topic?
It's different in so many ways. I mean, I think one is that we combined basically three books into one. You know, it's not only a story, it's also a photography book, because they're over 100 full-color photos of nature. And then it's also a book of verses, because I have 1,000 verses in there that talk about all the feelings within each volume. So it's really three books in one. It's kind of a coffee table type book. And we brought it forward with the highest quality ever, and it's only $28. So it's also brought forth at an incredibly crazy price, because, you know, our own team was like, this should be a $50, $60 book. And we said, no, we want to make it, you know, accessible to everyone. And then I think the other difference is it's not giving the answers. You know, so many books out there, they are like self-help, and it's kind of like, buy this and we'll tell you how to do it. We'll give you the program. And I knew I couldn't do that, because I don't even have the answers for myself, much less other people. And I would never purport to want to be their lifeline. Like, I don't want them saying, I want to do exactly what Melissa did, because what I did is right for me, but certainly not right for everyone else. So I think all I'm doing, hopefully with profound honesty, is sharing my personal experience. It's also very, you know, it goes very dark and it goes very light. It does both extremes. And I think, had I been thinking about like it appealing to everyone, I definitely wouldn't have gone to such a low extreme. You know, I know how to create a commercial success. I mean, I create them for Melissa and Doug every day, and I know how to sell millions of units of something. And this wasn't about that for me. This was about bearing my truth in all its honesty and really sharing feelings as honestly as they arose. And that's what I did. And I think I'm proud that it isn't for everyone. You know, it's not like a light beach read that you just bring with you for the weekend. But people who it's meant to touch will absolutely be touched.
And I absolutely hear you. Does this change anything in your life's direction in terms of the company and anything else?
Yeah, I mean, I think for me, it's changed everything. You know, this has been the most important thing I've ever done because, you know, accepting, I couldn't accept others until I truly accepted myself. So now that I have accepted myself and know why I'm here, like I can now transcend myself and really be a light for others. And that's really my goal now. You know, it's not to, now that I shared my story, like I don't really even need to talk about myself that much. I really just want to help others ignite their own sparks and find what makes them tick and go out in the world and shine their light. And that's truly, you know, every day I'm speaking to individuals and those are the most important conversations I've ever had because I'm able to show them, you know, why they're unhappy now, you know, because they haven't ignited their own sparks and they haven't figured out what they're here for. And, you know, it's only through sort of committing yourself and engaging to something larger than you that you truly find meaning. And I think many of us have become so stuck in our small worlds and so stuck in our heads that we don't know that thing that's bigger than ourselves that we need to, you know, jump into the flow of in order to find our meaning.
You know, I'm sorry to bring up COVID again, but, you know, it's really going to resonate, I think, because so many are reevaluating their lives, their meanings, their purposes,
yeah.
You know, without maybe the underlying issues that you bring to the table. And so there's just this step back, I think, on the part of many these days to kind of have a more important life, if you will. And
I agree.
Yeah. And so
it's such
a great time. Melissa, is there something else you wanted to comment on or talk about relating the book or anything?
I mean, I think the only other thing that's really important is, you know, from the surface, I have everything, like everything anybody could ever want. You know, I met Doug when I was 19. We've had this really incredible marriage and relationship together. We've forged this business together that's $500 million and still growing. We have 6 children. We have every material thing you could ever want. Like people look at me from the outside and they're like, what more could this woman want? Like she's got it all. And I think that's a, you know, a blessing and a curse. Because I think even though I had everything I could ever want and don't get me wrong, like I've enjoyed the trappings of being successful and loved every moment of my family, I was still utterly empty inside and really still soulless. Because I had never really taken that journey inward and truly accepted myself. So I think, you know, I want to also show so many who are searching outside for the answers and for the material successes and for the, you know, the gold stars and the money and all that stuff, that it will not bring you what you're looking for unless you have already gone inward and really know who you are and what your gifts are and what you want to bring to the world. And generally, those things don't involve anything material.
That was Melissa Bernstein, co-founder of Melissa and Doug, and author of Lifelines, An Inspirational Journey from Profound Darkness to Radiant Light. And she and Doug Bernstein are launching and underwriting Lifelines.com, an online community, resource center, and content hub.
I'm Joshua Thompson, classical pianist, artistic director specializing in the masterworks written by composers of African descent.
And I'm Angela Brown, internationally renowned opera singer.
And this is your melanated moment in classical music.
Dean Smith Moore, the Dean of Black Women Composers, was a notable and prolific American composer and professor of music in the 20th century.
Moore was originally trained as a classical pianist, but developed a compositional output of mostly vocal music. Much of her work was inspired by Black spirituals and folk music. Moore was a strong advocate for the promotion of Black music and art. In her opinion, art could be used as a powerful agent for social change. Moore was careful to point out that because of the social issues surrounding African Americans, their music and art could be stereotyped. I use the term Black music to describe music created mainly by people who call themselves Black and whose compositions in their large or complete body show a frequent, if not preponderant, use of significant elements derived from the Afro-American heritage. Black music is, in its simplest and broadest terms, simply music written by a Black person. I'm Angela Brown.
And I'm Joshua Thompson.
And this has been your Melanated Moment in Classical Music.
And that's the show we've composed for this week. Thanks to Tina Rennick for production assistance. Our executive producer is Dr. Alan Shartok. Our theme music is Glow in the Dark by Kevin Bartlett. This show is a national production of Northeast Public Radio. If you'd like to hear this show again, sign up for our podcast or visit the 51% archives on our website at wamc.org. This week's show is number 1649.